you're forced to go out and pay for it yourself. I guess the difference is you're not trying to direct they're not trying to direct the way, the method with which the party did their primary. It's just the date.
Mr. Chair, I may be missing the question, but if there may be a subtle difference.
Well, it just seems like your Arizona example is not.
Let me read to you something from Arizona. Because the state conducts its election prior to the date allowed under the bylaws of the Democratic Party, Arizona allows political parties to opt out, because their presidential primary statutes don't comport with Democratic Party bylaws. Arizona allows political parties to opt out of participation in that primary process. Parties that do opt out of the state-run election bear the cost of conducting their own presidential preference elections. And I don't see the distinction between what they have done and what my bill suggests. My bill simply suggests that the state will provide a blanket primary if party bylaws adopted by the parties don't comport with what the state statutes are, that the parties can opt out. My bill does not suggest, although I think some people have inferred from my bill, that parties pay for their alternative selection process. Quite frankly, though, that's probably what ends up happening, which is similar to what is happening in Arizona. And again, the Arizona model was a model suggested by the courts.
Thank you. Questions from the committee members? Seeing none, I think we're finally to the Department of Law, Mr. Baldwin. And is there anybody else here in the audience in Juneau that wished to testify on the bill or any the issue in general? Then I guess you're...
I'm bringing up the Red Lantern.
Red Lantern, and you're here as a pinch hitter today, right?
That's right, a pinch hitter. And for the record, my name is Jim Baldwin with the Attorney General's Office, and I've gone through the uncommon fear of... I've experienced in court a few times where everyone's arguing about the one case you haven't read. I'm not well familiar with the Arizona case, and I think what you want to hear about is this issue about whether you can. What's the effect having the effect of the bill being that a political party, if it wants to do something different, would have to pay for its electoral process of choice. There is a U.S. Supreme Court case that was decided having to do with a Texas statute, which basically said that if parties who wanted to participate in the state primary system had to pay for the portion of the cost that was related to their participation in the state primary system, and it was a graduated fee that was charged for various offices, charge being less for statewide offices than it was for local offices. And what the court applied in that instance was basically an equal protection analysis, which is what we get into a lot in these kinds of election cases. You have third parties, as we've heard today, alleging that they're being treated different from the major parties or the other larger political parties in the system. And it's hard to look at the precedent, whether it be the Arizona precedent or the Texas precedent or the California precedent, and come up with a prediction about what would happen. Because what the courts will do is look at the specific circumstances of Alaska and determine whether Alaska can make a good case for the system that it's chosen, whether there's some if the court's going to be employing a strict standard, whether there's some compelling reason for our system, or whether they're going to slacken a little bit on that standard and say, is there some rational basis for it? Is there some good reason why the state has done what it's done? And it's hard to predict with any degree of reliability, whether you're going to be facing a strict standard, a compelling interest, or a more a rational basis. In the area of First Amendment rights and a system that adversely affects First Amendment rights, we've been faced with the compelling interest standard. And that's what we saw in the Jones v. California Democratic Party case. In other areas, the state has been confronted with a rational basis standard. For example, when a state says we're going to nominate by election rather than by convention, states have not been held to a compelling interest standard in justifying those kinds of decisions. In the case where you have a statute that says the norm is the blanket primary, and if you want to do something else, then you have to leave the state system and do it on your own, presents the problem of the state having to justify what it's done by whatever interest it has in promoting the blanket primary. And we all know where that ended up. It was not a good result for the state. It was not a good result for the state of California, and hence applicable to us. So I think we start out on the lower end of that burden, and I tend to think that we will be more than likely confronting a compelling interest standard than more than a rational basis standard. So we could argue Arizona, California, or Texas, but I'll tell you, I think we'll be facing a compelling interest standard under if this is litigated. We would have to prepare for that, and the record would have to be made in these committees that are hearing this bill as to what particularly is our interest in maintaining the system that we maintain if we're going to require that parties choose and have there be some consequences to that choice without the state there being an unequal benefit or an unequal state benefit being provided there. I'm not saying that absolutely can't be done. Appropriate case would have to be made for it, though.
Okay. Just, I mean, not having had the opportunity to really look at the Arizona case, and my staff and I intend to track down the actual case documents on a number of these. It seems to me like the timing, whether you chose to participate in the day that the state set up for its primary, and if you choose not to, and choose to bear the expense, then take the expense of an alternative date, is a little bit different than being forced to pick up the cost because the party wanted to exercise its right to the methodology. It seems like there's a big difference between those two.
I think that may be true, but there also is a big difference between a case that deals with a presidential primary and a case that deals with a state primary for a state office. The cases have been different in how they deal with primaries for national office. Different rights are accorded to those kinds of electoral processes as opposed to primaries that deal with local state office. So I would read that case carefully with that in mind.
Okay, and then just I guess when I started thinking about the whole issue of the party pay to basically exercise a right that's guaranteed in the Constitution, I tried to think of other areas of our governmental system. Certainly, everybody has a right to access to the legal process, but it's not you have right to the access to the legal process if you can afford it. I mean, we have public defenders, and I'm not saying that it's necessarily the same level of participation as a millionaire, but we do guarantee, we don't cut people off just because they don't have the ability to pay. And I guess I originally thought of it kind of as a poll tax. Sure, you could come and you could participate in the election if you could afford the fee to do so. And clearly those were ruled to be unconstitutional. And I guess, you know, if the party chooses to exercise its constitutional right, they shouldn't be dissuaded or preempted from doing that because they potentially don't have the right or ability to pay for it.
Right. Well, as I said, what the Texas case had to do with was candidates. who, when they were seeking the nomination of a particular political party, the party and the candidate had to put up a certain amount of money in order to help defray the cost. And the court, in that instance, found that there wasn't sufficient justification to sustain that burden on the exercise of the right to run for office or to put forward candidates. And I think that's a little bit of what you're talking about there. I'm not saying the case can't be made for it, but it's a heavy burden, and along this line of having to meet the compelling interest standard that I think a federal court might well hold us to. And also along those lines, in our Constitution, there's a provision in the title that has to do with elections and suffrage, and what it says there is that the legislature shall provide the method of voting. Now, true, it doesn't say in there that you must have a primary election, but I think that if there is voting going on, there's an argument to be made that the legislature shall regulate how that voting takes place. So if the legislature is going to say that you must have elections by primaries, must nominate by primaries, I think you're leaving, there would be then a question as to whether you must go forward further in that area and say how that voting is to be conducted under our Constitution.
Okay, but the courts can't compel legislative action due to separation, so we potentially would be just facing then the court acting in concert with the administration, I guess, to try and determine what the legislature intended or might do, or
be facing a declaration that you should do something, and it'd be up to you to do it.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Baldwin? Okay, seeing none, anyone else to testify today? Okay, we're going to take this under advisement. I will be tracking down some of the information on these court cases. Your Department of Law person assigned to this is away on vacation, but we'll be back soon.
Next week.
So as I track down information, I'll supply it to the committee members. And with that, next week, we are not going to have a hearing on Tuesday. We're anticipating a majority caucus that Tuesday afternoon. We do have a meeting noticed for Thursday, though.
Okay.
And with that, we're adjourned for today.
Jean.
The Arizona Independent Party also wanted to opt out. And they're subject to the same rules. Not because of timing, they just didn't participate. So,
okay.
In touch with.
Okay. You said something about these, legal opinions. Did you get something from Watch Legal?
In fact, she was here. Your staff might want to touch base with Catherine Kurtz, too. She is the one that we worked with. She's
okay.
The one that we discussed the spectrum issue with.
Okay, because I told Joe that I thought you were going to bring me a copy of whatever you had gotten.
Amber, did we ever get a written copy from Catherine? We asked for one. We haven't gotten one yet.
Okay.
But Catherine Kurtz is, and she's talked to Sarah Fields.
This meeting is now over.